We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to the Buffs Insider for this week. A week closer to finally having a real football game. By the time this comes out, it'll be a week from today that the Buffs will open up the 2017 season. September 1st, Mile High Stadium against Colorado State. Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com is here. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. And we're just going to ignore Neil today because we got to one of the greats of all time.
Very good idea, by the way.
One of the greats of all time is joining us, Mike Pritchard. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Good to be with you guys.
Mike's back in town. He was in Vegas for a few years working in the media. Now he's back here. In fact, he's going to be joining us for the showdown and for the UCLA game.
That's right.
Out there.
Can't wait for that.
He decided to work for gift coupons. Neil, that's what we're paying him this season.
How did you get that?
Wow, man. So you haven't seen that?
No, I haven't
okay.
seen that yet.
Wow.
Well, let the cat out of the bag
I
here.
I feel special.
All right.
I feel special.
All right.
How was it for you as an alum to finally see the Buffaloes last year, Mike, come back? The rise, as we called it a year ago, to finally see this team that had been at the bottom of the Pac-12 for so long jump up and be a top 10 team again.
You know, you feel pride. You feel happy for everybody because the process was a long process. I mean, you get a new coach and a new staff, and you want to make sure that the players are invested, and they were, and you build a program. And that's what we saw. So when Coach McIntyre was hired, we came around the program. I think everybody was very excited about what he brought to the program and couldn't wait for the wins to show up. So we wanted to be supportive of that. And so we were welcome at practice. And so you watch these kids out there, and they go out there and play, and they're working hard. And to see them in a Pac-12 championship years later, you feel pride. You feel proud. You feel definitely happy for everybody involved.
Mike, you were part of that program back in the 80s and 90s that took CU to a zenith. That's never been, you know, that was the zenith of the program at that point. What are you seeing that they have to do? You saw that first year. How do you sustain that kind of level of football?
Well, first of all, I think anybody who sees CU from the outside now, they're curious. And that's what this group, and that's what the Cephalufals and all the guys who paved the way, that's what they can be proud of. I mean, the Pac-12 championship, you didn't win it. That's okay. But from the outside looking in, everybody's curious. And then when they get here, they want to be a part of it because there's something special going on. And so how do you sustain that? You let everybody know it takes a special person to be a Buffalo. It takes a special person to put on this headgear. to put on his uniform. You got to understand the tradition. You got to look at where we went through, what we went through, the process to build this. And if you want to be a part of it, then you got to make that commitment. But that entices athletes, I believe, today. So are you able to sustain it? Yes, because you have enough people with experience and you have enough people with the history of what they went through to build it to where it is today.
How difficult was it? I know your love of the program, and there was a confidence it was eventually going to turn. But what do you think about the transition from the Big 12 to the Pac-12? And anybody who objectively was watching those games back then, mm-hmm. Mike, you did a number of broadcasts with us. We knew that the disparity in talent was significant at that point in time.
Right.
And we figured the Buffs were going to dig themselves out. But I think a lot of us were wondering, how long is this going to take?
Well, you do wonder, and you don't lose hope either. I think you just got to keep building it and keep working towards your goals. And for CU, the move, to me, was a courageous one. You go from the Big 12, and you get a Big 12 championship, and now you're going to the Pac-12, and you really want to make footprints and create atmosphere, CU atmosphere, if you will, in California, Southern California. So that's different. We've had history and success by recruiting successfully in the state of California. And so if you're going to compete in the Pac-12, I think that was something that you needed to understand as a school and as a program. And I love CU the way that they took it head on. And so you want to compete with the best, you want to be the best, then you got to go get the best players, and CU's done a great job of that.
Do you think this has been a good fit? I mean, we all love the history, Neil, of the Big 12. And you know that history.
Big 8.
Big 8, Big 7. Right.
You're talking to the Big 8 guy right there. Yeah. He didn't
going all the
Big
way
12.
Back there. But in hindsight now, after a number of years of being in this conference, is this the right place for Colorado?
I think it's definitely the right place for Colorado. As Mike said, number one, they recruit Southern California. I mean, Mike knows very well how they recruited Southern California when he was here. That's where their most success has happened, when they have recruited Southern California well. So this puts them in that spotlight every year. They're playing UCLA every year. They're playing USC every year. They're out there. They're seeing it. Also, from an alumni standpoint, there are more Colorado alums in California than in the entire Big 12 footprint. Mm. Every place they played in the Big 12, there are more alums in California. So why not go where your alums are? We're sitting today in the Champion Center. Well, guess what paid for that? That was a lot of alums who pitched in, who believed in it, and there was a California people too. So I think, the West Coast is just a great fit for Colorado.
You know, Mike and I were riding up in the elevator up here to do the show.
Right.
You made some comment about it. It was like, where are we? What is this here at the University of Colorado? I said, this wasn't like the shack down there on the north end of the field that you used to get dressed in?
Not at all. I can appreciate the shack too. I think we had maybe two squat racks and three bench press machines. And not even a machine, really. Just we were on the floor.
And concrete benches in the locker.
Concrete
benches and stalls.
Right.
They didn't have doors on your locker.
Sure. Right. But we didn't know any better. We just wanted to be a part of something special, and we knew we were building it the right way. We just believed in Coach Mack and his staff, and facilities. We didn't really care about those. We playing on carpet too, by the way. They got the plush grass out there now. But in today's college football, you have to have what CU has. I mean, this is first class. This is state of the art. This is probably one of the best facilities in the country, and that's what I'm saying about the curiosity. I mean, I think if you're on the outside and you're looking in, you see this, and then you make the drive into Boulder. Okay, wait a minute. This is different. I want to be a part of this. Let me investigate a little bit more. So it's exciting. It really is for any incoming recruit and certainly any player on the team now.
Don't you think, and you say there's questions about Colorado, people getting curious about it. Mm-hmm. Don't you think there was a stretch, though? Because let's be honest about it. I mean, yes, you had the addition of the club seating and everything on the east side of the stadium. But really, from an athletic facility standpoint, nothing had changed since the Dow Ward Center. And back in the day, and you were part of what
built that. Guys built the Dell Ward Center.
You guys built the Dell Ward Center, and that was fantastic at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But nothing had changed, so for many years there was a question out there, and not a positive question like you're talking about. It was, is Colorado still committed to this?
Exactly, Mark. When you see the facilities being constructed and you hear about the support systems that major universities have and the programs, the premier programs out there, the support is there. You know, they're not winning national championships, but yet the support's there. And CU didn't have that. And CU needed to get that back. And, you know, bring in Rick George, and he's been tremendous. But Coach McIntyre, he's been unbelievable in terms of, you know, garnering support, sustaining support, but keeping everybody excited about the program. And so all these kids that are coming here, they're witnessing that. They're feeling that. And that's a testament to the head coach.
But, Neil, don't you think it gets glossed over pretty easy, I think, sometimes around here. This building pops up, 140, 50, 60 million, whatever it is. And sometimes it's taken for granted this quickly already. And what Mike said is right. The fact that Rick George came in here and spearheaded this is significant and needs to be considered as such.
Oh, I think if you look at the contributions that Rick made when he came in here 4 years ago, started from scratch and built this building and all the other things that he's doing. And so, you know, it's and they got the university to buy in too. And I think that's a very important part of it. Mm-hmm. They got the university president to buy in. They got Chancellor Phil DeStefano to buy in. They got the regents to buy in. So they, you know, Rick got everybody to buy in. So everybody was on the same page. And I think that was maybe the biggest paradigm shift. If you're talking about what happened from 10 to 15 years ago to now is that everybody is supportive of athletics because they see what it's doing. I mean, the GPA has gone up since Rick has got here. If you look at the community service the students are doing, if you look at all the things they're doing, grade point averages, the APR, all those things are improving. And so I think the university now sees that, hey, this is a good thing to have.
But isn't it interesting? And by the way, as we're recording this, we want to say happy birthday, by the way, earlier this
Coach
week
Mac.
To
we do.
Bill McCartney.
Yes.
You played for him. 77 years old for Coach Mac.
I know. Coach Mac, the time flies. It really does. I mean, I can remember when he came into my living room when I was a youngster in high school, like it was yesterday. And we understand. We lose time. We understand that. But 77, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to say happy birthday to Coach Mac. But tremendous influence on my life. Tremendous influence on a lot of people that are close to me.
What I was going to say with you guys, though, on from that era, it's amazing to me. And I get in here in 2004. Okay, and I start meeting you and Alfred and CJ and Canavis and go on down the line of all the guys. The way you guys all, number one, parrot Mac, I can hear Mac's voice many times when I hear you guys talk.
Right.
Some of the same phraseology. Mm-hmm. The impact to this day now, as all you guys are in your 40s and getting close to 50, is phenomenal how it still resonates today in 2017.
It really does. You know, you talk about the college experience. You know, part of it is relationships. And I think as a freshman, Coach Mac was really a teaching moment for him and for us where, you know, you might go on to be a pro, you might go on to be successful in business, but the relationships you form right now, you forge right now, will last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And he was 100% correct. The guys who I signed with, the 87 class, we were brothers. You know, we were we came in together. We experienced a lot together here at CU, and Coach Mac kept us in line as if he was our dad, you know, and we'll never forget that. We all love him, and we'll never forget that about Coach Mac.
You know, when you talk about that, I see some parallels between this Coach Mac, too. Mm-hmm. He talks about a lot of the same things. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to him and talk to him about that, but there are a lot of parallels just in that regard. He talks about relationships, about these kids that you're going to know who these guys are 20 years from now. They're
right.
still going to be your friends. They're mm-hmm. still going to be people you're reaching out to, and it's kind of fun to see that parallel being built and constructed.
Yeah, you know what I love about this Coach Mac, Mike McIntyre, is, you know, some big shoes with Coach Mac in terms of success, Coach Barnett in terms of success, guys who are around the program. And but Coach McIntyre has done it his way. He's distinguished himself that way. But yet he also reaches back and he understands he's not going to lose sight of the history and tradition that was established here by some great coaches.
And that's a difficult thing to do for a guy that is surrounded by legends,
to
embrace that past and say, yes, I want you to be a part of this. I want Mike Pritchard to come into practice. I want Coach McCartney. I want Coach Barnett around, and yet still be your own guy.
Exactly.
That's a delicate balance, and I think he's established that.
Well, I think what it in all my years, in far too many years in this business, and kind of observing coaches, and Neil, don't laugh at me. You've done this longer than I have. he's the old guy at the table,
right,
by the way.
Okay, I remember when they had to put Pritchard in at tailback, I was going, uh-oh.
So what was it like interviewing Fred Folsom, by the way, Neil? I'm just kidding. But what it says about Mike, and Mike McIntyre now, and not all coaches can do this, and you see this, I don't care what business you're in, the ability to have, shall we say, a foundation of your own and believe in your fundamentals and stick with them makes you strong enough then to welcome in guys like Bill McCartney and Gary Barnett and whomever else, former players from great teams like Mike Pritchard, because you're secure enough in what I believe, and I believe my game plan and my vision is going to work. That allows you to have the strength to bring guys in. And you're not intimidated by that.
No, you're not. I mean, guys who are successful, they have a blueprint for success.
Yeah.
And they don't deviate from that. Now, along the way, or how do you build that blueprint for success? I mean, you go about it your own way, certainly. But embracing the past or being sure of yourself, like you mentioned, Mark, and being confident in your abilities, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you understand, if you've seen success, you understand what it looks like. You're going to stay on that path, and that's what Coach McIntyre is doing.
Yeah, without question. This was a long way of me talking about Bill McCartney to get to this point, but Mac always, you know, one of the things he always says, he's got hundreds of lines we all remember, but every organization rises and falls on leadership. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to go back to was, isn't it interesting that all those years where this thing couldn't quite get traction, Rick George comes in, Mike McIntyre's here. They begin to work together, get support from above them from a university standpoint, and ultimately that synergy is what turned this thing.
It is. It's a belief in a system. It's a belief in oneself. And but then also the recognition of knowing when everybody's ready. So you guys heard of the T-shirts from Coach Mac, right?
I think I still have a couple of them that I stole from you guys.
Maybe. I mean, these are legendary. I have people tell you about the T-shirts. The whole acronym, you know, team together, everyone accomplishes more.
Right.
So we're playing Oklahoma on the road, and, you know, we're playing well. We're playing decent. It's my junior. It's the 89 year. And Coach Mac had these T-shirts. Before, it was Coach Mac, and we were coat and tie, and then it was sweats, and then it was these T-shirts. So he met with us individually as a team in his office, and he wanted to look us in the eye. And he says, if I believe you, if I look in your eye and understand that you understand what this game means, I'm going to give you this T-shirt.
All right.
And so it was a growing up moment again, but it was also a confidence-building moment. So you actually had to go into his office and look Coach Mac and I and let him know you were ready to play this game on the road in Norman against Oklahoma, because Mac did not want to leave Oklahoma with a loss.
And so something tells me Mac would have known too if you
he would have known. He would have known. Yeah. Just some guys didn't get a T-shirt. but the guys who got a T-shirt, we understood. So on the plane, we're in sweats, and he's like, put the T-shirts on. And so we get off the plane. We get off the bus. We're going to work out at Norman, Oklahoma at their stadium. And on the T-shirts, it said, things have changed.
Wow.
So Norman, Oklahoma, I get goosebumps talking about this. Norman, Oklahoma, their media, everybody's there watching the bus practice with T-shirts saying, things have changed. Right. In other words, we're going to beat you today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there was no doubt in our minds that we were going to win that game. And we played phenomenal. It was one of the turning points of that year. We went undefeated that year. Outside of everything else that happened. But to go into Norman, Oklahoma to beat the Sooners in
that
front
was
of 90.
That was Mac's first win over OU. He'd beaten Nebraska once before.
Okay, right.
But
right.
He had not That's beaten right. Oklahoma.
In Norman. Yeah. So when he said, put on those T-shirts, we couldn't wait to put on those T-shirts. And it was just a confidence-building moment for everybody involved on that team, on that roster that year.
I didn't play for him, but I quote Bill McCartney all the time. And what you're telling me is that story is Mac, how many times have you heard him say the most powerful thing you can say to anybody is, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially what he was doing with you guys.
Pretty much, but he knew that we were ready.
Right.
It's like, so if you have a team that's not ready for that and you tried that, then they would fall on their face. You know, things have changed. Okay, we got to live up to this. But no, he wanted to interview us, basically, and feel confident that he was doing the right thing.
Now let's transition from Coach Mac 1 to Coach Mac 2 to 2016. You don't start talking about the rise in a program that has been down for a decade unless you believe it's the right time.
Correct.
Because if the Buffaloes in 2016 go out and go 4-8, the rise was less impactful,
yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Right? So Mike McIntyre must have believed that team and this program were ready to turn. I felt it last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our position, like Neil is and I am, though, as much as we're around, you begin to see the telltale signs.
You do. You know, it's interesting because on the outside, again, here outside of Colorado, the world of Buffaloes, and nobody believed in CU. You know, you're seeing social media, the rise, and you're seeing CU, okay, they're winning. Oh, they won another game. Oh, okay, great, they won another one. And then later on in the year, they're playing for the Pac-12 championship, and nobody on the outside believed in that. But you're right, Mark. On the inside, everybody believed that the rise was real. Everybody believed in what Coach Mack was talking about. And all these players bought in. And so as a coach, the whole blueprint of success, he understood that, but he had the confidence. But he also had the confidence in the players that they understood the moment, and they didn't want to let it slip by.
Neil, what did you see last year? You're in the middle of this thing all the time. What was it where you said something's changing here?
I think I saw a bunch of guys that had come in for 3 years and just gotten their tails kicked. Mm-hmm. Chido Bayouzie, Akella Weatherspoon. You just go down through the list. Samson Cafavalu, that whole bunch. Sefo Lufau. They'd gotten their tails kicked for 3 years. They had been, you know, forged in the fire of adversity, if you want to use a phrase like that.
Well, that's a Mackism.
Hey, I covered him too. You know, I was around. I heard a lot of those Mack speeches. So I think you saw these guys that they were good athletes and they were good players. They knew it. They had confidence in themselves. They had played well the year before, but hadn't shown the results. They lost 5 games in the last, you know, quarter of the game. So they had confidence in themselves, and they were ready to turn it around. More than anything, they had a belief in themselves, and they really didn't listen to the outside noise. And I think that's a really big part. And Mike, you mentioned social media, the impact that can have on a player's confidence or his lack thereof.
Mm-hmm. So then the next question is, okay, if there's the rise, and the rise is real, and the rise continues, and fulsome fast, all things we talk about now, how difficult is it then? It's one thing to surprise everybody in 2016. Now everybody knows the Buffaloes are back. How do you maintain that? How do you continue to push it forward? You guys did it.
Well, it's not a one-day deal. It's an off-season. It's a commitment to weight and conditioning. It's a commitment to the classroom. It's a commitment of we've accomplished this, but we want to accomplish more. It's a feeling of not being satisfied. Alfred Williams, the great Alfred Williams, he could have went to the NFL draft after his junior year, and we all knew that. But he said, you know what, I'm committed to you guys, and I'm coming back. So that instilled more confidence that we were going to be okay the next year too. So if you have great players that are committed to the program and they're committed to be special, Derek McCartney, I mean, all these guys, I mean, these are the players, the pillars that will help sustain that excellence.
I got a question for you. 1988, you guys had a decent year in 89, you come mm-hmm. back, you go undefeated, play for the national title. What was the difference going into 90 with that target on your back where everybody knew Colorado was good? I mean, and then you start out with a Tennessee and an Illinois and a Stanford. What was the, or was there a difference in all of a sudden, hey, that's Colorado?
Yeah, there was a difference. You know, people viewed us differently. There was a respect level. We go undefeated, we lose to Notre Dame. But collectively as a team, we felt like we had unfinished business. And I think CU has unfinished business going into this year. And getting to the Pac-12 championship, that's great.
Right.
But we didn't look good. We didn't mm-hmm. play well.
Yep.
So there's unfinished business right there. That can be a motivating factor.
Mike, is there a thin difference between success, breeding success, and then the other side of that is getting drunk on your own wine, so to speak?
Yeah. Again, that's, can you handle it? Are you satisfied? I mean, I think as a competitor, you're never satisfied until you're done competing. But we all compete no matter what we do in life, whatever job we perform. You want to be the best or you want to be successful. And if you maintain that competitive edge, you're never satisfied. You're always going to want more. So I think when you establish a standard, if you establish a season like CU did last year, build on it. Have guys buy in the off season, the weight and conditioning, practicing in training camp. What you're doing at training table, eating the proper food, making sure you get rest, getting your job done in the classroom. I mean, all that, your standard goes up from here. And so be accepting of that, and good things will follow.
Neil, I don't know about you, but after talking to Mike, I'm ready to play.
Oh, my God.
Let's get it going here.
He's got a lot of Mac in him over there.
I can see it.
This campus is magical. It transforms you. It does. It really transforms you. Mac talks about the headgear. Right. It is the headgear, but it's also the flat irons. It's the CU logo. I mean, this campus, it just transforms you.
It's going to be a great season. We're looking forward to it. This guy's going to join us again for the Rocky Mountain Showdown, the game at UCLA. Mike Pritchard will be in the sidelines with Gary Barnett and yours truly. Neil Welk, of course, be covering it for CUBus.com. We're going to let Mike and Neil step aside right now and transition over to our fourth microphone. Alexis Smith, one of the top recruits in America a couple of years ago, now in her junior year for the Colorado Buffaloes, as we get set for Jesse Mahoney's team to open up the season on Friday against Northwestern State out of Natchitoches, Louisiana, although they'll be playing that match in Norman, Oklahoma at the Nike Invitational. Alexa, welcome. I know training camp can get long. We've talked to the football guys about that. I'd have to imagine all of you on the volleyball team are feeling the same way, and you're about ready to play somebody else.
We are. We're ready to play someone else. We've been practicing against each other and scrimmaging each other a lot, so it'll be good to see other people on the other side of the net for sure.
How has camp been? Are you happy with what you've seen from the team?
Yeah, you can continue to see improvement from day to day. We still have a long way to go if we want to keep improving throughout the season, but I like where we're at right now.
What excites you? I mean, there's a lot of new people that you guys are trying to integrate. What excites you about this team?
You know, we do have some fresh faces, especially in the setter position. We have some freshmen coming in, Jaden and Brenna, and then in the libero position as well, we have a transfer in Brandon. So I think those new faces, as well as like the returners up in the front line, will really help us out as well.
You know, I've asked Coach Mahoney this, being that this is his second year and it's your second year, if there is a culture change. I mean, a coach kind of puts a stamp on a program, you know, with what he or she believe in. Are you noticing, is there a change, the kind of the learning curve of this team in terms of what Coach Mahoney wants still happening?
Yeah, I would say we all have higher expectations at this point. Mm-hmm. When he first got here, we didn't know what to expect, and I don't think he did either. But now that we know each other a lot better, we can hold ourselves to higher standards in that way.
What would you say is his style of coaching?
You know, I think I wouldn't say laid back is the right word, but he knows when he needs to interject. He lets us do a lot of self-coaching and within position groups as well. But he does a good job of kind of stepping back and let us coach ourselves. And then when he needs to, he will step in, which I really appreciate.
You know, last year, the Buffs came out of the gates very strong, very quickly, and then tailed off towards the end of the season. I know that's been addressed from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint. Do you feel like you've got whatever that was fixed, or have you figured out why exactly the Buffs tailed off a little bit last year?
Yeah, I mean, we always say you want to be playing your best volleyball at the end of the season. And I think last year that wasn't the case. We had a few injuries, and we just weren't playing well at the end. So this year, we really want to start out well, but then continue to grow throughout the season, and that's one of our biggest goals.
You know, Jesse, in regards to you, has said, when we put a lot on Alexa's shoulders, that she's kind of a barometer. When she's playing well, we play well. If she's struggling, we struggle. Do you feel like there's more help for you out there at different times, or are they still putting the same kind of responsibility on you?
You know, I think this year we have, like I said, a lot of returners up in the front line, with Negetti and Feff in the middle and Jocelyn and Lauren on the right side, as well as our other outsides. But I think we can spread out our offense a lot more this year. And so even if they aren't like setting me a ton, they can set other people and we'll score a lot.
You know, I think a lot of folks know that you started out, you left the state, went to Purdue before coming back to Colorado. A great decision to come back.
Yes, I'm so happy to be back. So happy to represent the state where I grew up again.
Nobody was probably happier than the parents, right?
Correct. Yes, they're super happy. They come to every game, every chance they can.
How about this event you got now? Later on today, you've got Northwestern State. That opens things up. You're going to be in Oklahoma, and then you got a couple of matches on Saturday. Good competition to start out, kind of get a litmus test or a barometer to where you guys are at?
Yeah, preseason's always super important. Those are wins that really count in the postseason, things that they take into account. So it'll be important to start off to a good start and get things rolling this weekend.
And obviously, the Pac-12 is always challenging when it comes to volleyball, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the best volleyball conferences in America, for sure.
All right. Well, go and have a great season, will you?
Thank you so much.
Once again, the Buffs volleyball team opens up the season later on today against Northwestern State as part of the Nike Invitational in Norman, Oklahoma. As we put a wrap on the Buffs Insider for this week, for Alexa, who just joined us, for former Buffs standout, and a guy who'll be joining us on the sideline for a couple of football broadcasts this year, for Mike Pritchard and the partner, Neil Welk, I'm Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on the Buffs Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.